A poem for Jose Campos Torres. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this. I had confessed to myself all along, tracer of life, poetry, trends, that awareness, consciousness, poems that screamed of pain and the origins of pain and death had blanketed my tablets, and therefore my friends, brothers, sisters, in-laws, outlaws, and besides, they already knew. But Brother Torres, common ancient bloodline Brother Torres, is dead. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this. I had said I wasn't going to write no more words down about people kicking us when we're down, about racist dogs that attack us and drive us down, drag us down and beat us down. But the dogs are in the street. The dogs are alive, and the terror in our hearts has scarcely diminished. It has scarcely brought us the comfort we suspected. The recognition of our terror and the screaming release of that recognition has not removed the certainty of that knowledge. How could it? The dogs, rabid, foaming with the energy of their brutish ignorance, stride the city streets like robot gunslingers and spread death as night lamps flash crude reflections from gun butts and police shields. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this. But the battlefield has oozed away from the stilted debates of semantics, beyond the questionable flexibility of primal screaming. The reality of our city, jungle streets and their Gestapos has become an attack on home, life, family, and philosophy total. It is beyond the question of the advantages of didactic niggerisms. The motherfucking dogs are in the street. In Houston, maybe someone said Mexicans were the new niggers. In LA, maybe someone said Chicanos were the new niggers. In Frisco, maybe someone said Orientals were the new niggers. Maybe in Philadelphia and North Carolina, they decided they didn't need no new niggers. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this, but the dogs are in the street. It's a turnaround world where things are all too quickly turned around. It was turned around so that right looked wrong. It was turned around so that up looked down. It was turned around so that those who marched in the street with Bibles and signs of peace became enemies of the state and risk to national security, so that those who questioned the operations of those in authority on the principles of justice, liberty, and equality became the vanguard of a communist attack. It became so you couldn't call a spade a motherfucking spade. Brother Torres is dead. The Wilmington 10 are still incarcerated. Ed Davis, Ronald Reagan, James Hunt, and Frank Rizzo are still alive, and the dogs are in the motherfucking street. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this. I made a mistake.
Hello, my dears, and welcome to Conversations with Cleo. I hope everyone out there within the sound of my voice is doing lovely today. It is Thursday, November the 7th, and at the time and the moment of this recording, it is exactly 2:57 p.m. Wow, I know that some of you are a little bit confused, saying, well, what the hell, Miss Cleo? I thought you said you were coming back this week, and we wanted to be able to talk to you about your holiday, make sure you were doing all right. Well, I had a most healing and a most remarkable holiday. I wish that I had the time to go into the minute details. However, I fear I would bore the majority of you, based on the fact that it's just simply not anything that you're into. No harm, no foul, and no judgment. Well, so, Miss Cleo, then why aren't you live on the air right now? Well, darlings, I gotta tell you, during this Mercury retrograde, and you all know that I chat about enough things, I write about enough things, but here's the deal. I also live by. It's not just something to chat about. And given the interesting array of misunderstandings and miscommunications that I myself personally have experienced in this retrograde, my message to self has been to listen to one's inner self and to know and be resonant and peaceful in your truth, even more so your factuality. Fact is fact, truth can often be subjective. So, given that dynamic, given the element of the vibration and the energy right now, I certainly did think it more prudent to pre-record today's show and then let the chips fall where they may. And so to any of you who were wanting to hear my voice live, I gotta tell you, it's kind of funny though, because last week's show, while it was pre-recorded, the numbers are doing gangbusters. I think there is something interesting about people who, if they know the show is live and then they're listening to a pre-record, which we're all on a stutter start in this current society, you can DVR, you can do all manner of things to view something later. However, I think it must be a little bit different with radio or internet radio. I don't know how often I would listen to a repeat of a radio show. How about you? Perhaps a television, but maybe not a radio show. However, that is my thinking. So maybe either they want it live and they want it live in the moment, or they are content to listening to it perhaps during drive time or something of that nature. I don't know. Don't ask me to try and figure out the statistics. I am just grateful and celebratory that you all tune in whenever you tune in. However, as things begin to become busier for me, as I will be working diligently daily on my book that will be released in the first quarter of 2014, I will be, you know, sending out tweets and whatnot, and who knows, maybe I'll jump in there every once in a while and put something up just to say hello or to do my own personal advertising, if you would. There is more than one way up the face of Mount Kilimanjaro. I have been saying that for many a time. So who knows, perhaps something of a different way of sharing the information will evolve out of this, at least for our conversations with Cleo. It's the only thing I got control over. So that's why we're pre-recorded today. Second of all, I want to be real clear to send out so much love to each and every one of you who retweet, who tweet, who favorite the Passion for Paws fundraiser, the 2013 Dundun Awards celebration. Well, it's just a week away, and boy, we are sitting in a pretty good place. I'm not being cocky, I'm not complaining, I'm not bragging, but we're very, very good. We are knowing in our hearts that it's going to be quite successful. We are knowing and jubilant to be able to show love to Ava Rhodes and to all of the families and the canines and felines that she so selfishly assists every day. And I mean every day. I spent a morning with her and I was humbled, because it is interesting to me, many of us out there can walk the walk. Very few, or at least a handful, seem to be able to talk the talk as well. So just to give a recap, because in this Mercury retrograde, somebody said to me today, oh, I thought it was on the 24th. I said, no, on the 14th. So it is Thursday, a week from today, November 14th, 2013, at the Boynton Beach Art District. Boynton Beach Art District, and that is located at 422 West Industrial Avenue. That is just one block west of the Boynton Beach I-95 exit. You're going to come one block west, and then you are going to take that first immediate right, and you will be lulled into it. There is plenty of parking. It is going to be a beautiful evening. I've already put my request in with Yemaya and Oya, and so I am certain that the evening will be delightful. Also, by the way, if you're out there and you have your favorite lawn chair, your favorite folding chair at home, by all means, please throw that in the trunk. I know a lot of Floridians travel with their chairs in the back of their trunk. I know we do. But go ahead and do that, and if you want to bring your a blanket, although we're on concrete, folks, not the majority of the space. So come so that you're comfortable. You understand? Come. This is not a fancy black tie event. This is come out and celebrate. You know, one of the most wonderful things about canines and felines, they seem to find such joy in just playing. You know, whether you see a dog playing in the yard or you see a cat playing with yarn or a very unfortunate mouse, they are finding joy, and I genuinely believe that still, and I've said it on more than one occasion, that humankind has much to learn from the cats and the dogs, the canines and the felines, right? So if you can't be in attendance Thursday night, November the 14th, Passion for Paws fundraiser entitled An Evening with Cleo and Friends. I certainly invite you to tune in. We are going to do our level best to set up all of the equipment that I do this show from here at the event, and we are going to broadcast live. So I hope that you all will tune in. We are going to have some really delightful artists there. And it was interesting, I got a tweet yesterday from someone who wanted to interview me on television so that I could tell everybody about the event. And of course, you know, the boss man at LDC Management, I love him. He rolls with me amazingly so. And he says, well, how do you want to respond? I said, well, you know, it's Mercury retrograde. We don't take an interview in a Mercury retrograde. We won't book an interview in a Mercury retrograde. And we won't do one. We won't give one, you know. We won't take one and we won't give one. So I said, well, let her know that the story is not me. Because a lot of people might think, well, you know, I want to talk to Miss Cleo. Because Miss Cleo might be the story. But the story isn't about me. The story is about Ava Rhodes, a woman who walks the walk. And the story is about families who are struggling, still recovering from the economic downfall in this country, the housing blow up, whatever the fuck they're calling it this week. This woman decided to get or do her level best to get in front of the problem in order to help these families stay together. And each and every day we hear about the importance of domestic animals who aid elders and children in their healing process. You know what I'm saying? I know that my Cece, let me tell you something, she healed a hurt in me that I wasn't even aware of. And when I tell you that she is my joy and she is my heart, I kid you not. I actually have seen her do a great deal of healing in my partner. She is very serious about her human family, and she loves us, you know. She's a real hugger, and like I said, she healed something in me that I wasn't even aware of, and that was that need to belong to. And so she belongs to me, and I belong to her. Here's the funny part, though. She's just about as freaking stubborn as I am. So my Mufasa and my Bathsheba from the other side, as well as Shaka and Hannibal and Nefertiti, that was my security pack, and they were something. So they sent a sweet little angel to take care of me and to love me. And now, you know, as usual, she gets a little bit bored with the show. So we're going to take a quick pause for the cause, but it won't look like normal, y'all, because there won't be any commercials. So we're going to just take our quick stop here. I hit the pause button too quick. That was funny. So I'll be right back, and then we're already back. See, it's like watching a cooking show, you know, when they say, okay, we're going to pop this in the oven, and look, it's already done. All right, check it out. I do appreciate all of you, again, for listening to the Passion for Paws, and please, by all means, share the information. And as I said, if you cannot be in attendance, please send money. And the link is there on the page, conversationswithcleo.com, and just click on the link for the 2013 Dun Dun Award. Or you can go to crowdwise.com, and that is crowd, C-R-O-W-D, R is in rabbit, I-S-E.com, /Passion for Paws, W-P-B. It is important to put West Palm Beach because there are two Passion for Paws, one in another part of the country. And then you put / fundraiser. And that will take you to the page. And you can see the list of people. We are about 10% in. That is not counting the food that has been collected thus far. You know, people like to wait till the last minute. I'm still sending out my emails, and I got no worries. We will indeed be collecting until the end of the year. That is December 31st, 2013. So by all means, no donation is too small. And you can also go ahead and visit Ava at www.passionforpaws.info. All right, my dears, we're going to keep it moving on to what the subject of today's show is. And this probably moves a little bit beyond today's show, at least for me personally. It is entitled, you know, Historical Times, Living in Historical Times. Cleo's last word. Well, so Miss Cleo, that sounds kind of ominous. What the hell does that mean? Well, here's what it means. We have the 14th, which is the fundraiser, and then we have the season finale on November 21st. And even those numbers, for me, and you all know that I practice numerology, that number is a 9, which means we bring that season to completion. And we bring the charge of conversations with Cleo to an end. We have focused for 2 years on politics, on bringing knowledge and information to our listening audience. We have focused on the tough topics to discuss. And all of these things were necessary, I believe, for me to be able to share. I won't judge if it was necessary for you all to hear it. But what I have come to in looking forward to 2014 and the energy that is being created, that is what I want to do. I want to create. I want to speak to things of beauty. I want to speak to things of joy. And that's probably a little bit tough for an old rebel like me, because every time, or at least up until recently, I would hear some foolishness on television. I would think, oh my gosh, we need to talk about that, and people need to know the truth, and oh my goodness, we need to make sure people have the information. And sometimes all of that information and all of the many places that it is coming from, it gets lost, it gets muddled. And it can become your own prison. My granny used to say, don't let knowledge become your prison. Take the knowledge, and as long as you are growing from it, then it is a wonderful thing. The minute that knowledge begins to limit you, the minute that knowledge begins to take away your joy, the moment you realize that you cannot manage all of this knowledge and information that's out there and still balance it with all of the joy and the beauty that is out there, it's time to step away from the ladder. You say, well, Ms. Cleo, I don't know what the clear ladder is. Well, for me, I want to stop discussing. I want to stop feeding energy into all that is going on. Doesn't mean that myself personally, I don't want to stay informed, because I do. But I don't feel the need, and I don't feel that my greatest efforts, my greatest energy will be best utilized by going over all of that sort. So this show, this one right now, we're going to go ahead and give a very solemn and a very respectful nod of adieu to the historical times. I am content to live them without feeling the need to bring it to the table for you all to discuss. There are many wonderful shows out there that are doing an amazing job. Younger folks, less gray hair, far more exuberance, you know, 3 times the amount of energy. And I am grateful to have carried the gauntlet for as long as I have. But the message from on high and to me personally is to go ahead and lift that burden. Go ahead and let that go and trust it to those that are coming up. The millennia, all of you wonderful young people out there who tune into my show loyally, and I appreciate that. Again, I pass the charge on to you, and I do it with a smile on my face and in my heart,
because I have been honored to know you and to feel you and to plug into your vibration and to recognize that you all have heart and you have intelligence and you have intellect and you have integrity. And wow, I was getting worried there for a while that it wasn't there. And I know some of you say, well, Miss Cleo, you go into this banter all the time. If you don't like it, turn it off. But really, I am excited to be moving forward in my own personal journey. And in that personal journey, I take those of you who are willing to go along with me or to at least be a spectator or observant of what I share, and then we share back. So on this show, we're going to hit the hot topics of 2013. We are going to hit the hot topics of what I am calling historical times. Because the things that we are talking about, the things that we have talked about in 2013, 2012, 2011, 2010, and 2009, will all be part of the historical times that generations forward will read about. I got to figure they're going to be awfully damn confused at some ends, because I'm confused and I'm here right now. But certainly I'm going to start at the top and kind of move my way through. I don't know that any of this is on any kind of particular pattern or schedule or I don't know what you would call it. Layout. But I'm going to take it from the top. And certainly I would be remiss if I didn't go ahead and have a few words to say about the new healthcare program. I'm sorry, that is rude to laugh. Let me try and say it again without laughing. The new healthcare. No, come on now, I can do it. One more time. The new healthcare program. And certainly it has had a few issues. Now, had anybody consulted Miss Cleo, I would have said, yo, Regine, I would have waited until December the 1st to roll it out anyway, because there was no way that this thing was going to launch in the way that it did. With Mercury being retrograde. And I would imagine they may have even started to construct it in a Mercury retrograde. We don't know when they spent that 90-some-odd million dollars. The thing that's interesting to me is that I know for a fact, they may not tell you, but I know for a fact, in the White House, in the government, CIA, FBI, NSA, whomever, they have people like us, like me, that do what I do every day, that they can ask questions, when would be a good time, but they don't listen to us. I got to give mad props up to Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan, because Nancy Reagan had herself, honey, the White House astrologer. You understand what I'm saying? And she not feel no shame. Nancy knew her truth, and she lived by her truth. That could be an example to all of you, you know. But Nancy knew her truth, lived by her truth, and I guarantee you, she didn't let Ronnie Reagan make no decision in an Obama. Yeah, Mercury retrograde, and certainly we're watching the connection between what is going on here below and what is going on up above. Eh? So we can sit here and poke blame, we can sit here and do all of these things. I'm not really into that right now, because apparently it's being done very well on cable news and in the late night shows and even on the CMAs. Everybody is making fun of this healthcare rollout. How could you not? So I am praying that nobody's feelings are getting too hurt. You did a shitty job. It's a shitty rollout. Fact. You know what I'm saying? That's all there is to it. It's not effective. And maybe shitty is a judgmental word, but it's not effective. It's not working. And you all knew that it wouldn't work. But here's the deal. I still say that's the distraction, my friends. What you have come to find out is that people are losing their health insurance. What people have said to me over my, oh, well, you only have to pay a $95 tax if you're not sign up for it. That's not true. The first year is a $95 tax. The second year is a $395 tax, or 2% of your income, whichever one is higher. And by 2016, it will be $695 or 2.5% of your income, whichever one is higher. That's not a laughing matter. And you can half those amounts if you have children. So when you go to file your taxes, you will have to pay $695 for you and $300 and whatever it is, the halfway mark for your children. And there you have it. But here's the thing. There's a huge caveat for this whole particular health care program to work. People under the age of 40 have to sign up because they figure they'll be healthy. So the people under the age of 40 must sign up in order for this thing to work. So they can pay for the older people and their issues. And then, you know, if you are a 62-year-old woman, right, there's no more babies coming out of you. You understand? However, if you're 62, you have to carry maternity coverage. So what's that about? So you're carrying maternity coverage. For the younger people who may not be, you know, standing on their own financially, whatever the case may be, so you can pray for their baby. And then the categories are split up by the following. Catastrophic. And these are the grades of the plans that they have. So it is catastrophic. It is bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. Right there's a problem with that because that whole vibration is so classist. How disgusting is that? Catastrophic is the lowest, right? Platinum being the superior plan, or the one, rather, that costs the most money. I don't know how superior it is, so I don't know that to be truth. But why would you gauge it like that? You know, so somebody can say, oh, you've got the silver plan. Sorry, you don't get a room with a roof over it. You get a little cot outside. Come on now, man. There was a far more prudent, inclusive way to label those categories. What about A, B, C, D, and E? Right? But yet they force our children all to go to school in uniforms because we want everybody to feel the same. So if this is health care for a country, for a nation, then shouldn't we all feel included? Right? That's not the way it rolled out. It's not the way it was set up. And again, they are causing you to look at the distraction of the failure of the way that the system actually works. You are not looking at the glut of money and the amount of money going to bureaucracy to set this thing up. Now they say, well, we put people in jobs, all right, but we're in a how much trillion dollar deficit. You understand? So I've never quite seen anyone or any group of ones claiming they're trying to achieve something when all I seem to observe is them working to not achieve a damn thing. The fact that they are talking about chips in order to monitor, that's in the legislation. I've read it. The fact that now they are telling you, you cannot keep your same insurance because it's not good insurance, and that they don't have anything to do with that because the insurance companies can cancel you. Well, you don't think the insurance companies had some kind of participation in the creation of this healthcare program? Do you not think that the lobbyists and the other individuals out there didn't have participation in creating this dynamic? Trust, if you believe that, I know nothing I can do for you. You understand? But I do advise that if you hear something come up, and I know it is not any kind of enjoyable reading, but go take a gander at the legislature. It's in place now, but there is no guarantee that it's going to work the way they have it set up right now. Actually, it's probably more of a guarantee that it won't work, because the caveats and the what ifs are entirely too large and too subjective, and there's absolutely no control. The government cannot force people under the age of 40 to buy this insurance. They cannot force them to do that. And what if everybody buys just the catastrophic? Then there will be no money, and there will actually be a tax on this country. And they tax the single dollar so many times, I'm not sure if we take home more than 33 cents. We say, well, what's your alternative, Miss Cleo? Well, for me, I'm going to have to pay it anyway, because I personally do not observe Western medicine. I have been the benefactor of Western medicine, and usually it didn't work so good with me, you know. And I have family where it didn't work so good with them. But I do have a few family members where it has worked wonders. So I'm grateful. So I have no judgment. It's just not my choice. My choice will be to pay the fine, or to pay the tax, or to pay the penalty. They haven't figured out what they're calling it yet. The United States Supreme Court said it was not a tax. I personally think that the plan needs to be scrapped. Now, this is opinion only, and start it over. And then at that point, the lobbyists and such and whatnot need to get out of it. But I don't see that happening either. So, you know, no bashing the president or anyone. This was a collective effort. You understand? Plenty enough blame to go around. I got nobody to bash. It is just very, very unfortunate for the people of this country. What I say to you is to educate yourself about what you are doing. There are people that I know personally that have had their insurance canceled. There are people that I know whose insurance rates went up. 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 Understand? So it's difficult. And from what I understand, that there are only 6 people who actually have successfully signed up for Obamacare. So, I'm not sure. And the bureaucracy of yet another friend who just went to the doctor for her physical and listened to a nightmare of a doctor trying to get through a push-button phone system in order to assist one of his patients. And 45 minutes later, the doctor said, if I could have, I would have shot somebody. That's rough. That the bureaucracy, we all have been on the phone. Press 1. Say your social security number now. And you do all of that. You're pressing all the buttons. And what happens when you get to the live person? Can you please give me your social security number? Can you please give me your whatever number? Can you beaky, 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 be? And they're asking you the same questions all over again. I'm not really sure what that's about, right? A little bit spooky. Like I said, we'll see where this goes in another year. All I'm saying to any of you is to make sure that you are educated about what you're getting into with regard to this health care program. Clearly, that's the only thing that's clear, is that none of it is clear. All right? So with that being said, I would advise that everyone move ahead with your eyes wide open. You understand? Nobody's going to tell you. I'm not partisan. I don't care. Red, blue, purple, brown don't mean nothing to me. All I'm asking you is to know what you're getting yourself into, because that responsibility lies with us, not with anybody else. All right. So that's my last word on healthcare, aka Obamacare. Whew. Bullying. Oh my goodness. If I have predicted, well, I don't know, 10 years ago, that bullying was going to be one of our greatest social issues in 2013. I don't think I would have believed myself. I was bullied growing up for being black in an all-white school. But I was a big kid. And on more than one occasion, I handled my business. You understand? You start something with me, trust me, gonna finish it. You hear me, man? That was the credo in my household. You don't come home beat up unless the other somebody looked a hot mess. By the time I guess I was in sixth grade, I beat up one too many boys, right? This one little boy, and he wasn't that little, he was about my height. And he said my mother had a dick. Now, I got to tell you, you can't talk about my mama. I can't talk about my mother. I can be angry with my mother, but you can't say a motherfucking word about her, you hear me? Because that gonna bring the war. Do you understand? There is a phrase in Jamaica that, trust me, if you say it, it'll bring the war. And in that phrase, the word muma is used. And for those of my brethren out there that are Jamaican, you know exactly the phrase me I chat about. I won't even say it on the air because somebody might hear it the wrong way and ready to come start a war with me. And this little boy said that about my mother. I got up in the middle of the classroom. I sat in the back. I got up in the middle of the classroom and I got up and I slapped him in his head. Long story short, by the time I'm walking home, but that's back in those days, you could walk home from, so I walked a mile. I know I sound like one of those old people, see? And he brought four or five of his brethren with them because he was going to beat me up. First of all, what set of five boys want to beat up a girl, right? I mean, that's already weak to begin with. This is back in the 60s now. So, early 70s. Early 70s, late 60s. And so he brings his brethren, and certainly they are no match for me. They all abandon him, and there he and I stand. The next day, I was called to the principal's office, and the principal looked at me and said, who helped you? And I thought to myself, this is a trick question, you know. This is not a real question. And nobody had helped me. Probably in current times, I would have been in far more trouble. But this was a long time ago. And I settled the score. And I never, ever, ever had anyone ever, ever say anything about my mother again. As I stand here right now, 56 years old, ain't nobody else said nothing bad about my mother. Because I'm going to tell you, if you do it, I'm going to bring the war. But guess what? Now I'm a full-fledged voodoo priestess, and I know how to touch you. I can reach out no matter where I be. Zin, for those of you who are offended by that, sorry. Anyway, I say all of that because I am listening to the conversation around the Miami Dolphin football team and the young man, Jonathan Martin, and Mr. Richie Incognito, which I think that's a hoot of a name. And if I relate that to Incognito, who is part of X-Men, he was a kind of dirty cat, but I won't do that. Here's the deal. I don't know that any of us will ever know the truth of what went on in that locker room. But I have to tell you, I'm a little bit disturbed by people making it okay by saying, well, that is the way that the football locker room looks. That is the way that football, you know, happens. He needs to toughen up. He needs to be a man. He needs to not be this. He needs to not be that. And they are actually making the behavior of a bully okay because it's taking place in football. Let me tell you something. Children will do what they see adults do. They do not do what you tell them to do. So day after day, after week, after month, for 5-6 years now, we are talking about bullying in schools. Yet we see it play out in the streets, on television, and in our sports. Now, like I said, we will not know the truth of what went on. And I understand the concept of hazing, which means I get it, but I don't get it. But if you call my phone and you call me a half-baked nigger and you tell me you want to slap my white mother, I got to tell you, man, I would not have taken the cars of Jonathan Martin. So I have to hold that man up. Because, see, I would have gone to Richie Incognito's level. And trust me, he'd have been sitting somewhere with an ice bag on his nuts if he'd have talked about my mother. Nonetheless, talking about you want to assault my mother. And then you leave me a voicemail, you're going to kill me. People say, well, how do you know what context they're taking out of context? I don't care. There are certain things that are no game. And I had an auntie, and when she first came up to America, you know, everybody told her, come. And that woman, after about 12 years, she left. Because she said, America has no soul. She said, they make fun of people. They make fun of situations that they do not understand. And they could care less for who it hurts. And the fact that we have pontificator after pontificator making the behavior okay. I don't know Richie Incognito from a hole in a while, so I don't know anything of him. I know what's being said about him, what was said about him. I don't know anything of him. But what the behavior is deplorable. And there's an opportunity here for people to teach their children something. Respect. Because we are now in such a social environment that it almost brings on nausea for me. Because the hypocrisy that we allow our children to view daily, hourly, is unbelievable. This is what they're being fed right now, is hypocrisy. We tell them, be nice, be gentle, don't be rude. And then as we're picking them up from school and driving them to soccer, we're calling somebody a bitch through the window because they cut you off. And then maybe you're on the phone talking about your cousin and you're saying negative things about her. Really, what do you think your children are going to take away from that? Seriously. And parents, I'm sorry. It begins at home. I was a working mom for a long time, so I ain't trying to hear nobody say, well, Miss Cleo, you didn't have to worry. You don't know what I had to do because you don't know me. And you don't know these other people. But what you do know is your own household. What I hope you know is your own self. And that we have to learn how to treat each other so our children will know how to treat one another. We set the example. That is on us. That is about us. We set the example. And right now, I got to tell you, man, the example is failing. I don't think there is an example for the children to even attach to. You know, the energy we feed them right now is laden with negativity. And yet no one wants to take any accountability And it confuses me. It absolutely confuses me that we think it's okay to make the treatment of people, the poor treatment of people, the inconsideration for people, feelings. I am learning that I don't care about what someone thinks of me. And I'm actually there. I probably said it for a number of years, didn't quite know what I was saying, but I'm actually there now. Because they do not create me. I create myself. And if they didn't create me, then they can't kill me either. They can't destroy me either. And I want all of you to take that away today. And to any of the young people that are out there listening, I am so sorry that the children and the young adults of my generation did not provide a better foundation for you all to move through. Because, and as I transition into this, and this is the thing, it is so pervasive, it's like a virus running one place into another. Because now our children, as well as adults, I cannot say, but this is again what we are showing our children. Conflict resolution in the 21st century equals murder or a gun. What the hell is that? That is not conflict resolution. It just, that's mayhem, chaos. That's not conflict resolution, but this is where we've gotten to. I had to tell you, I was sitting here having a little lunch earlier, and I had the television on, which I got to tell you, in a minute, I'm getting ready to stop watching. There's a direct link, and I can see a shift in my vibration, in my energy, after I've watched television for a while, and I really am starting to get a little bit turned off. But I was watching a commercial. Now, I wouldn't have necessarily known it was a commercial. And four guys, in a truck, and they've got big artillery with them. It looks kind of cartoonish, but it kind of doesn't. Looks kind of real, but it kind of doesn't. Then I realized that it is a commercial for a video game. And in the background, they've got Frank Sinatra playing, or a Frank Sinatra sound-alike, and then singing this really happening 50s kind of upbeat song while they are shooting up, killing people, throwing bombs, just total mayhem. With this upbeat, fabulous song playing. And I knew, and when I got to the end of the commercial, it was a commercial for the Call of Duty Ghosts. I guess it's a new iBox video game. And we have grown men who are playing this game right now. 20s, 19, 30s, maybe some in their 40s, I don't know. Lord God, I hope none in them 50s. But perhaps. But all I saw were guns and destruction playing out to Frank Sinatra. I'm offended by that. But I know I'm not going to go out and get a gun and start shooting up people. But here's the deal, darlings. If you've watched the news for the last 30 days, I feel like I'm in the Wild Wild West. Pure shoot 'em up. That is conflict resolution. That is what people are doing now. And if they don't murder you with a gun, they hire a hitman to kill you, or they drown you in a bathtub, or they poison your food. I mean, I am running out of what the hell, because this is happening every day. Men and women, young and old, and in between, we have no ability to resolve anything. Even our government, with the shutdown in awe, no ability to resolve anything without threat and more mayhem and confusion and chaos. When was the last time you saw anyone work something out? Seriously, when's the last time you saw anyone work something out? I don't know. How about you? I can't tell you. I mean, on a bigger scale where we sit back and we see things come around. But usually, somebody is got a gun. Somebody's got a bomb. Somebody's got a knife. I don't know. Acid. I'm at a loss. And the people who are rising up to fight back, they're fighting the same way. Can't tell you how many stories. I said, yoo-hoo, yes, my dear, where a granny pulled out a machete. You know what I'm saying? Where a convenience store owner took his own gun out, was bigger than the robber's gun. And then I saw one where the wife kicked him in the nuts 3-4 times. You understand? So we get happy about that. I don't know if that's a good thing, you know? But people are tired of being taken advantage of. People are tired of feeling like they're on the short end of the stick. So we're not coming together on putting our energy in proactive functionality. So if you're a convenience store owner, you know what I'm saying? You get two people and get you two vets. Have them post watch. Audit your store. We don't work together as a community. They would stop coming to those kind of vibrations. But we don't work like that as a community anymore. Everybody wants to go get a gun. So everybody feels like they're armed. I get it. You know, I get the concept, but I don't get it. Because we are not helping ourselves. We are helping the prison industrial complex. Because soon they will legalize marijuana. Next 10 years. Here's the deal. That's going to mean a lot of folks aren't going to make it to jail. So we're going to have a whole lot of other reasons develop for people to be in jails. Because jails make big money. And you all know, I've talked about that before. We're not going to go down that road. But I am indeed concerned for the fact that we have left our young people without a opportunity or without the skill and the ability to resolve conflict without it turning into murder and mayhem. Because that just seems like where people are going to. And that's not happening in a vacuum. And we don't have to look far. We really don't have to look far. We just have to be factual and honest with ourselves. And once again, take some accountability. Look here. I just got breaking news and a press release. So I'm going to read to you all straight from the press release. This is regarding Marissa Alexander. And you all know that conversations with Cleo has been on board when we found out about the travesty of justice dealt to this young woman who was only protecting herself and her pregnant self. Let's see, at the October 31st status hearing on the Marissa Alexander case, 10 police officers stood in the courtroom while 3 rows of seats in the courtroom remained unfilled, while a number of people were denied entry, although they had arrived on time for the hearing. Several groups had to wait outside in the hallway on the 6th floor, including people who had traveled all the way from Orlando and Miami to attend. Following the brief hearing, everyone leaving the courtroom and those present in the hallway were told they had to leave immediately. The peaceful and quiet crowd was herded to the elevators by large numbers of uniformed police officers. Public escalators were turned off. Interesting. Marissa Alexander is the African-American mother of three who was sentenced to 20 years for firing a warning shot to stop an attack by her abusive ex-husband. No one was injured in the incident. In late September, the Florida Court of Appeals overturned Alexander's guilty verdict and ordered a new trial. At the October 31st hearing, a bond hearing was scheduled, now moved to Wednesday, November the 13th, which is good. Mercury will be done, and Mercury will be awake from its retrograde. And a new trial was set for March 31st, 2014. Alexander has already served nearly 2 years in prison. So I know that they are going to release this beautiful woman on bond on November the 13th. I will receive nothing else. Jacksonville activist Richard Burton, director of Project Reach and a 12-year member of the National NAACP Board of Directors, has contacted the National NAACP legal office asking them to investigate the community's exclusion from the public proceeding at a public building. Again, and I just kind of skip through some of this for you, because again, the concept is why are they trying to keep people away? On Friday, November the 13th at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, supporters of Marissa Alexander will be back at the courthouse again to support Alexander at her bond hearing. Austin Torre appeals to the public, especially male community leaders, to attend. We need you there to demonstrate that the public will not be denied entry to the Duval County Courthouse and to show that protection from abuse is not just a woman's issue, but is a human issue. And I echo that. And so any of you that are in the Duval County area, I would implore you, if you have time, if you have a job, if you have a position where you can make yourself present, I would ask that you please do so. And it is, and actually, I'm looking at the date here. I think they have, and this is a classic Mercury retrograde, because November the 13th is not a Friday. So what we're going to do is we're going to, they have it mixed up. Wednesday, November 13th. It's not a Friday, as they have it in the last line of the press release. But again, Wednesday, November 13th, if you are in a position to be there, we would ask that you show your solidarity. Going to wear some red myself in support of Marissa and Free Marissa Now. There is also an email if you would like to get additional information, et cetera, please by all means contact freemarissanow@gmail.com. And the additional contact information here for Alita Austin Tare is 904-631-1674. We will post any updates on our website with regard to the bail bond hearing. But again, I'm telling you, that's what we are receive, is that they're going to let this young woman out of jail so she can go see our picnic. I can't even get into this. It just upsets me so much. But I don't want to focus on the upset. I want to focus on the triumph. Because if this woman can come out in a week and she can see daylight and she can hug her children, we absolutely must throw our arms around her with energy. But at that same token, we have to throw our arms around Trayvon Martin's spirit as well as his parents' spirit, because this travesty against Marissa may have gone on and may have succeeded had Trayvon not made the greatest sacrifice, losing his life. Now, as we continue to talk about historical times, it's interesting to me that movies have always told us what what's coming 20, 30, maybe even 40 years down the pike. Wouldn't you agree? So I have looked at the movies and I have looked at the television series and I got one more. What the bombaras are going on? I have asked this question on many an occasion to you all. What is up with this zombie thing? Why is there such a push to get young people comfortable with zombies? What's that about? I am afraid to ask much more there. But what I do tell you is that how they are treating it now will be interesting to see how it plays out 30 years from now within the military. And you all just put that in the back of your head and roll with it. I also got to give some love out to the city of New York. Boy, I got to tell you, I may not like to visit because there's a lot of spirits walking around there all the time. But mad props, because the new mayor in New York is Mayor de Blasio. And Mayor de Blasio is married to a most beautiful African-American woman. And they have a most handsome, wonderful son who has a 1972 Afro. And finally, somebody in the office of mayor in New York that is more representative of the whole rather than the one or the other. I love it. And I have heard, I don't know, it'll be a wait see to see if this man gets rid of stop and frisk. I think that this is the greatest opportunity for New York to return to some semblance of order with regard to respect of people of color, because this young man is biracial. He looks black with that beautiful afro of his. You understand? So he definitely is at the top of the list to be stop and frisk. It'll be interesting to see if they ever stop and frisk that boy, you understand, by mistake. That is if in the event that de Blasio isn't able to get rid of it instantly. I think the stop and frisk is disgusting and needs to go. It is disgusting behavior. One more of a quick pause for the cops, because CC's barking at the door, so I'm going to go lettering. Alrighty, I'm right back. You know, it's just a shame that here we are, 2013, and the things that we will be talking about that are historical. The black president and a biracial family in the, you know, in the mayor's house. I don't know, is there a mayor's mansion in New York? Me no know. But we are calling that historical, and it will be labeled historical. I mean, historical. People make fun of me. I don't care. I'm not saying hysterical. I'm saying historical. I have to laugh. We don't laugh enough, you know. And some of you out there, hey, Miss V, I know Miss V is laughing at me because she says she don't never know what me gonna say. And I know Chaz, hey, Chrissy, I know she understand the phrase. And she know the phrase me I chat about when me I talk about the phrase that I make you go to war. All right, sending out love to all of you. Quiet Storm, you better be getting healthy, Star. I'm going to come get you. All right, I just have to let you all know how much I love you as I sit up here and they all of these wonderful people tune into my show, except Cleo, just for how I am, and I appreciate that. What's happening, Austin, baby? Hope you're all healed up and back to working hard. Let me tell you something, that's one of the hardest working cats I know, but he is always good love. You want to know something that came out really good out of the government shutdown? Is that what was that, Miss Cleo? The Monsanto Protection Act, some way, somehow, boy, that fucker didn't get signed. And whatever the time limit was on it for it to get signed, it not happened. So, Monsanto is going to have to go back to the drawing board. But I think too many people got wind of that thing and it didn't fly. Because here's the thing, I got to talk to you all about GMO foods. I have to. And I know I've been talking for a while and we're getting ready to bring it to some closure here. But 30 years from now, what is going to be happening with the natural food supply? Seriously. They say the best way to go to the supermarket is to shop the outer aisles, that the inner aisles have all of the junk and the garbage and the artificial and the this and the that and the re. However, I was watching a show the other day that was talking about the chemical cocktails that are going on our vegetables. Did you know that the white potato has so much crap in it, it is no longer healthy for you to just eat a regular white potato? It needs to be It needs to be organic. Did you know that you're supposed to stay away from kale and spinach and strawberries? Uh-oh. Because of all of the friggin' pesticides and the chemicals that they are putting on the crops. Strawberries, brethren, what do you have? They're not telling you, though. And so people are going out there every day, feeding their children, feeding themselves. And at the end of it, as if the list wasn't long enough, a lot of the things that you shouldn't be eating that are vegetables, that are raw, if the list wasn't long enough, the person presenting the information said, well, buy organic if you can afford it. So we're going to give all the bad food to the people who can't afford it. I'm not going to even call it poor. If you don't buy, then it's poor. Poor. Okay. Good deal. You got it. Poor people are just going to die off. Is this population control? Will the children come out with more diseases, worse diseases? They're putting antibiotics in these chemicals. Will the children not be resilient to it? I am at a loss. But I need for you all to take a moment to understand that these foods are indeed impacting us. It may not appear cataclysmic, but it is. Do you know Kraft macaroni and cheese? I'm not going to lie. I used it 30 years ago. And I fed it to my children and I ate it enough times. All right. However, now they are tying yellow dyes to hyperactivity and asthma. You don't think they knew that then? You know my rule. If you can't read and pronounce every ingredient on the back of a package, you shouldn't be eating it. Now that's a little bit rude because I'm telling you what you should do. These are my rule. I'm not eating it, brethren. I'm not eating it. By the way, yams, very safe. They have a tenth of the garbage that the white potato has. So I am saying to you all, make sure that you go out there and you do a little research. Make sure that you look for places, and for those of you that are local, good place where you can get some organic stuff and not pay a Whole Foods price is to go to the Boys in Delray Beach. Go out to Bednar Farms. Go out to other places where you know that you can get cleaner vegetables. You understand? Don't just go with the sustainable. Organic sustainable is important in America because the sustainable may be laden with the pesticidal cocktails. So you need no pesticides. You know, what happened to cow shit? What happened to horse shit? I sprinkle some shit. There is plenty of shit, man. If we could get all of that wonderful shit that they run around up and down the streets and the halls of D.C. and the White House and Congress, and bring some of that shit, man. Stop putting the pesticides. Let's grow some vegetables. I know some of you say, uh-oh, Miss Cleon tipped over the top. No. I'm just saying. That is very disturbing to me. Do you know that other countries, China, Russia, they won't buy most of our meat? They won't buy it. Why? Because of the hormones in our meat supply. Folks, we're not doing ourselves any favors. I am not trying to beat a dead horse. I am simply saying that, again, this will be historical. Because what will people be eating 30 years from now? And will they even know what it is? And for those of you who are young, and I know out to my brethren, the beat therapist at Black District, he talks about a number of movies, and we love to talk about how movies tell us certain things. But for those of you who have never heard of it, and I know that he wasn't born yet, and I know a few of my other brethren out there weren't born yet, go check out the movie Silent Green. Mm-hmm. You know you have the right movie when you see Charlton Heston and he look young as fuck. Go check that movie out and then bring it all the way forward to one of the Arquette boys and go check out Idiocracy. And look, we're talking about, I don't know, maybe a 40, 50 year difference in the movies when they came out. Brethren, let me tell you something. It'll blow your hair back. Let's see. What else have I got going here? Well, you know, here's the dealio. I think that we have brought it just about full circle. As I finish this show on this episode, I look to the television and say it is on mute and on CNN and Twitter. Twitter stock soars in its first day of trading. So that's pretty cool. Those cats who started Twitter, I have a lot of respect. However, when the money gets like this, you got to know there's going to be some changes. So we can just kind of sit back and see what those may be and how that may roll out, because now they have to monetize this tool even more so than it already is. I'm not making any predictions. Kind of stepping away from the prediction business, unless you can decode it out of one of my poems. If you do, well then, mad props. But I'm going to step back to that, away from that. Even every year, for a dear friend and for Windy City Media, I usually do a show solely and wholly on the things to come. But we're not going to be doing that this year. Again, it's going to be about the creativity, which brings me around full circle, my dears. So if you love the political side and the current event side and staying in the mix and staying in the fervor, I got mad love for you, man. Una fe, fight the good fight, because I'm getting ready to go create the good creation. And I thought I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on that on the last show, because I really want to spend so much time celebrating all of the people in my first year on BTR and in this year of 2013, because wow, it has been amazing, and there is such a list of people to thank and to celebrate and give mad love and shout outs to. And so that show I'm reserving for that, and this show was for me to say I'm good, y'all. I love you so much, but I'm good. It's not going to be about what's on the news anymore. It's going to be about living and celebrating life in the now and opening ourselves up to the adventure of the universe. No more limitations here. No more fear. Laughter, joy, life and healing, my dears. So on that note, I'm going to tell you all to have a most wonderful long 3-day weekend. It is Veterans Day. So to all of the veterans out there, whether you have come home, brethren, whether you are still out there fighting the good fight, I appreciate you. And moreover, to my brothers who were in the military, and to my brother-in-laws that were in the military that have crossed over, I love you, I appreciate you, and thank you for your sacrifice. You don't have to agree with the war, but you certainly should celebrate and send love and protection to each and every one of those young men and women, and those older men and women who are doing what they feel in their soul is the right thing to do to protect their families here and to protect what they perceive to be the American way and democracy. That I will not judge. I just say thank you. Because not all of us are willing to go to war. And most of those people there now, they're there voluntarily for one reason or another. We can get into the details, but that's not the case. And I feel the need to say that at the end of this show, simply because my brother-in-law, Gary, was MIA, missing in action in Vietnam. And there has not ever been any closure for my partner or my partner's family. Now, G is doing fine. Talk to him often enough. But there's so many out there with so many wounds. So as you move through your long weekend and on Monday, I'm not asking you to do anything big, man. Just stop. Say thank you. You don't have to have no minute of silence or anything. Stop and say thank you. Because we do have to need to be considerate and to be appreciative. Because I tell you, you want to piss me off? Make me feel like you don't appreciate me. On that note, my dears, I love you all madly and wonderfully. Have a great week, safe weekend, and we will be partying it up the next time that you all tune in on November 14, 2013. It will be an evening with Cleo and friends, a fundraiser benefiting Passion for Paws at 6:30 p.m. at the Boynton Beach Art District, Bomba. Boynton Beach Art, I think I was saying Boynton Art District earlier. I don't know. Sometimes I get old and tired. But it's at the Boynton Beach Art District. And that is at 422 West Industrial Avenue. Just one block west of the Boynton Beach exit. All right, I hope to see you out there. Those of you that are my locals, and to all of the rest of you all around the world, I hope you're being cozy and warm. And for those of you in New Zealand and Australia, I hope that you're keeping it cool. And to everyone else, remember, 50% of the people aren't going to like you. So we spend all our time, all our energy, and all our love on the 50% that do. Now, those are my last words for 2013. You've already heard the ones for 2014. Creativity is the greatest rebellion in existence. Peace.